Wave 3 News troubleshooters John Bowl and Natalia Martinez take you behind the investigation. Right now on Wave 3 News Now.
Well, hello and welcome to another podcast of Troubleshooters Behind the Investigation. Along with Natalia Martinez, I'm John Bowl. Little different kind of a twist today. We're not talking about a hardcore investigation. We're talking about one of the most impactful things that has really happened in the history of the Louisville market. I know it impacted me so profoundly after 17 hours of anchoring in 3 days, I had to go seek mental health counseling. And we'll get more into it in here, but we're talking about the Old National Bank mass shooting. Natalia's been working now for almost a year on a special documentary that's going to be airing, and she's here now to bring us up to date on where she's at and what you're going to be able to see when this airs.
It's incredibly intimate, if I were to describe what this project has turned out to be. So we are coming up on the one-year anniversary. It was April 10th. And so during that time, we've spoken to several of the people that were directly affected. And they include some of the first officers that arrived on scene. And I am incredibly grateful to them because they're officers. You know, they typically don't talk about these things, especially so soon after. And not only did they talk about their experience, but they talked about how they've been affected doing their job and living everyday life, issues with the trauma that all of that has left behind. And I'm hoping that these officers talking about that can inspire other officers to not only talk about it in a form of support within each other, but also seek the help that they need in case, in case they do. It just kind of bring down that stigma.
Before we get into the when and where you can see this and exactly what components it's made up of, when we go into a project like this, I've done a number of documentaries in my life, and we have a vision for them, and then inevitably we veer off course, but we learn things that we didn't expect to learn, and it takes us in a direction we did not anticipate. Did that happen for you, and what was it?
Yes, and I thought there was going to be a barrier between the officers, particularly sharing their story and talking about those moments, right? Because they got to the scene and immediately Nick Wilt was shot. And so they talked about having to try to rescue this kid. He was a rookie. He was only 4 days on the job. And one of the officers, I remember talking about when he got to him, the shooter was still firing at them. And he could hear the bullets going right past him. And he remembered thinking, I am going to die. I am going to get shot at any second. And then he looked down at this kid, and he was an older officer, had been on, you know, the department for a long time, and thought, that should be me. He's a young rookie. He's just starting. He tried to lift him up, and I remember him telling me, I couldn't lift him because of the amount of blood that was on my hands. Mm-hmm. And those are just incredible stories that you don't hear about. And only then can you really appreciate the amount of pain that all of this has caused so many people and the trauma that then they have to deal with, you know? So I think that really surprised me. We also interviewed Jessica Barrick. And I'm sure you've had interviews in your life where it's hard, right? Like we do a pretty good job, especially with the kinds of stories that we do.
Yeah.
We do a pretty good job about, you know, not getting too emotional, because it's part of the job, right?
Right.
And you have to remain objective and all of that. I think Jessica Barrick, who was married to Josh Barrick, who was one of the victims, I think her interview has been the hardest in my career. It wasn't too long. It was a few months after the shooting. And she agreed to do the interview to talk about Josh. And we interviewed her and Josh's brother. And her emotions were so raw at the time that I remembered looking at her and just you can't help but feel her pain and her anger. Because there was no reason, there is no answer for any of it, right? And so I'll share this piece with you that is going to be in the documentary. At the end of the interview, I asked her, is there anything else, as we normally do, is there anything else that you want to share that we didn't ask? And she said yes. And she reached out behind to her, and she pulled out these two index cards with what their children, their two little kids, had written about their dad. Mm-hmm. And I remember her reading them, and one of them said, I love the way that he smiled and the way that he loved me. Mm-hmm. And when Jessica was reading them, I remember the paper just shaking.
Yeah.
But she was convicted. She wanted to do this interview. She wanted to share his story because she wants, one, people to know who Josh was, how much he was loved, and what this community lost on April 10th. So she doesn't like attention, she said, and she said that Josh would have given her such a hard time about doing the interview and being, you know, on camera. But she was incredibly brave to share her story. And that, I think that is the hardest interview I've ever done.
I've been around a long time. I've been around so long that I covered the Standard Revere massacre back in 89. What makes this one different from that one? Really a couple of things. First of all, the timing of this one. This, if you remember, this was on the Monday morning after many of us sat through Easter services and had this glow about us moving forward in our year because of our faith. And secondly, this one, unlike the other one, we saw aftermath video eventually, years later. But this one, we had the body cam video. And I know that that is what rattled me, the absolute sheer brutality and terror of what was going on in that shooting.
It was an ambush, is what it was. Yeah. And so I could imagine there were some survivors when the shooter walked into the conference room and unleashed, I believe it was more than 36 bullets. But there were some survivors that were in that room, and I just can't imagine having to live through that and the panic that inflicted. So, yes, you're right. It was the Monday after Easter, and people had spent that time with their families, and it was a regular Monday morning. And, you know, you'll hear that in the documentary. Even the head trauma surgeon at U of L said he was heading into work and actually drove by the bank, and the shooting happened early in the morning. So not long after that, he gets to work, and boom, they get the first alert that an officer had been shot. And then it's more injuries and more injuries and more injuries.
Okay, let's talk about opportunities to view your documentary.
So it is going to debut on Wave on March 29th, that's a Friday, at 7 o'clock. And then if you miss it, and what Wave is doing is there is no sponsorship here, there are no ads. This is just something that is so important to us and to this community that we are going to air it 1 hour, 7 o'clock. On the 29th. If you don't get to see it then, we'll have it on our Wave app and on our Roku and on our website as well. Under Wave Originals, we'll have the documentary there. I do want to tell you something really quickly about it that was done very consciously. This film does not delve into the shooter. We do name him once. We're being explicit about it, and that's it. So we have spoken with several of the people involved and understand the concern and the danger when, you know, these shooters are glorified, when, you know, they're presented to the public.
Right.
So this does not have anything of that. And also it does not have any information about the lawsuit that is related to who sold the gun, or gun control. While that is very important, a very important discussion, I wanted this film to be a safe place for the people involved to simply share their stories and away from any politics.
Yeah, right. And that's, I think, to be expected. And that's how we've conducted our news operation as well, as we followed the story. Okay, so or coming upon, anything else you want to share with the listeners and viewers, and any other takeaways?
Yes, I hope that, and this is part of the reason why so many people decided to talk to us, there is a takeaway here. And of course, there nothing good. You know, you can say the community came together, and yes, it did. There is nothing good that really comes of this. But what I do hope the public comes away with is admiration for the resolve and of the people that were involved to move on with their lives, to pick up the pieces, and to essentially tell the shooter, you are not going to control the rest of our lives. And I hope that people gather that and also walk away with a sense of humanity, because you can't, these interviews are so raw and so intense that you can't walk away from them.
It's just so hard. Well, anyway, thank you very much for your work, and we look forward to seeing the finished product coming up. And along with Natalia Martinez, I'm John Ball. Thank you for listening to another edition of Troubleshooters Behind the Investigation. We'll have more for you later.